no child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. For that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story, tell you a story?
You can lean on me.
There, a man,
oh yeah,
standing on the corner. He had no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying now?
Welcome back to Challenges of Faith Radio program. Like to acknowledge God and our listeners. I'm Gary McCants. My guests are Zion Lester and her father, Terrence Lester. Zion and her dad co-authored a new book called Zion Learns to See, Opening Our Eyes to Homelessness. That's a powerful title and a powerful book. Zion and Terrence, welcome to Challenges of Faith Radio program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's an honor to have both of you on. And first and foremost, how are the both of you?
We're doing good.
We're doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. It's a good day. And congratulations to the both of you on your new book.
Thank you so much. Really excited about talking about this book and just grateful to be here with my daughter.
Same.
All
Thank
right.
you.
All right. Dad and daughter, that's a blessing all by itself. Terrence, I understand you have many books out, and, of course, Lord willing, we'll invite you back to discuss them. Zion, what were your aspirations while growing up?
Just seeing my dad serve the community, serve those who are experiencing poverty or homelessness. It was such an inspiration to see my dad care for other people.
Wow. That right there has to be, I like to use the word mind-blowing, but it has to be powerful because think about it. As you grow into adulthood, when it's your time, then you're able to give a powerful testimony based upon what you personally witnessed as relates to your beloved father. Terrence,
right.
How about you? What were your aspirations while growing up?
I guess, to be honest, I really didn't have any aspirations. I had a lot of struggles when I was a lot younger. But God spoke through people who came into my life and saw my potential. And I think from that, it made me realize that I could use my voice, my story, and writing as a way of glorifying God but reaching people.
Mm-hmm. Zion, when you went to work with your dad, what new and wonderful people came into your life?
Many people I did not know, but I made friends that day, got to know people for who they were and just not judging them on what they've been through and how they look or just different, like outside things.
Wow. You know, and your dad had just mentioned as relates to, from an aspiration standpoint, as relates to the people that impacted his life, leading him to become, in correlation with God's work in his life, to be the father, the man, the husband that he is now as a servant. And then, of course, you have probably seen your own challenging experiences with people that you have seen that may not have shared the same concern you have of wanting people to be their best and therefore by helping them. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So, Zion, do you believe all people matter to God? And if so, why?
I believe all people matter to God because, as God says, love your neighbor and just love on people despite who they are, what they've been through, or just don't judge people, like I said before, based on outside things. Get to know what's really on the inside and just treating people as if they're human and not just defining them by their mistakes or past.
I would echo that. And, you know, we've always taught our children that God created everyone who has breath. And because people have the image of God on the inside of them, that very breath deems them worthy. Everybody has inherent worth and value on the inside. And I like to keep a quote close to me to remind me of the value of God in each person. And it simply says that everyone is deserving of dignity, no matter how damaged the shell or package that carries it, right? And so, you know, when you think about serving those who are unhoused, just because they don't have an address or a fancy suit or a car, sometimes not even having access to showers or a clean shave or clothes or shoes or socks, does not mean that they're not valuable in the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm. Both of what you have said is very, very true and powerful. And I just hope and pray as you continue, especially I believe as God utilizes this book and the both of you individually and together, to be able to do just that, shine light on those individuals who really may be, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, ignorant or unaware of the fact of, you know, all of us as humans have worth, and that no one should be rejected based upon, as both of you have said, what they have or what they do not have. Terrence, why did you and Zion write your new book?
Yeah, you know, we've always taught our children that service is a lifestyle, not an event. It's a core value of our family. And years ago, doing work in the organization Love Beyond Walls, I was actually in the middle of a campaign. I was walking on foot from Atlanta, Georgia, all the way to Washington, D.C. to raise awareness about homelessness and poverty in our country. It took me about 2 months to complete that journey, every single day walking 13 to 16 miles a day. And, you know, over the course of 2 months, news reporters and newspapers would write stories. And so my daughter, Zion, was in the second grade at the time. She would take these newspaper clippings to her classroom and share them with her teacher. Well, instead of her teacher tucking it away or just overlooking what she was bringing to the classroom, she decided to take the article and teach the kids in the class about homelessness. Well, Zion gets an idea. She has a passion for writing, and she also has an idea. She wants to launch a campaign with her second grade class, and they did just that and got the entire school involved and raised about $52 worth of change. So if you can imagine an entire elementary school bringing change to school, you know, just in the name of wanting to support a cause mm-hmm. that affects so many people. And then the educators in the school started, you know, really being aware of students experiencing homelessness inside the school. And I just thought, you know, she was 8 years old at the time, you know, and children have such an innocent heart. They don't have all of the filters that adults have. If they see a problem, they just want to jump in and solve. And so, you know, over the course of time, my daughter started telling me she wanted to write a children's book. And we thought that it would be a great idea to write this book based on our relationship and also based upon what she had learned as a child of how to see and value other people, regardless if they have an address.
Mm-hmm. And as a beloved father, I know, you know, there's one thing called pride that can cause one to fall down. And then there's another type of pride that I'm sure as a beloved dad you had as relates to all that your daughter have done and is doing, where you can proudly stick your chest out knowing that you have instilled within her that which you know you should have and is doing as a beloved father. And at the same time, coming back to Zion, congratulations, because again, look how God has used you just as a child as relates to the school that your dad is talking about and the impact with the teachers and the other students as well as the total school. So this question is going to go to both of you, and I'll start with Zion. Zion, why do you believe every person should matter to us?
I believe every person should matter to us is because, again, like I said before, we're all human, and every person matters despite anything. We should all just treat each other with kindness and treat others how they want to be treated, whether it's a family member or a friend or somebody you don't know, it's just important to treat others with kindness and just have compassion.
Mm-hmm. And I turn toward Terrence with the same question.
I just think that everybody has a story, and we don't know those stories, right? God is the author mm-hmm. of everybody's story. And when you see a person on the outside, you are not getting a chance to see the struggles that they've had to journey through, the pains that they carry, the way that life has unfolded for them in ways it may not have impacted you. You know, I was talking to a friend not too long ago, and he said something that was very profound. He says that grief is very personal, yet it is universal, meaning that at any given point, because we are human and we experience human suffering, that we can experience loss and trauma and grief and pain and all of the things. We've met people who have become unhoused because they lost a job, because they got ill, because they lost a loved one, because they became disabled, right? Because they were in a position where they can no longer afford the rent or their mortgage. There are so many factors that leads a person into this plight, and I think sometimes we generalize people's experience and then we try to label them. And we have to remember that every single person has a story, and their stories are worthy of being heard.
Mm-hmm. Zion, any final words for our listeners?
Treat people with compassion, and also just be aware. Be aware of what people are going through, even if they don't tell you, because some people don't want to be vulnerable. Just do it without knowing.
Mm-hmm. Zion, thank you for writing Zion Learns to See, Open Their Eyes to Homelessness and Helping the Homeless. Thank you for being open to God and being sensitive and caring for people. And as you continue, may God continue to richly bless you, especially as you grow. I hope one day to look out and see you out there globally, just like your dad is headed and your mom, but globally doing the same thing, so that people, in fact, begin to care and open their eyes to truly help those who are in need.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Terrence, so why is it important to share with children the things that matter to God?
Yeah, I mean, children, I know it's cliche, but children are the future. They are the future leaders, teachers, doctors, lawyers, entertainers, actors, actresses, business owners. They are the ones who will be in leadership roles and function in society. And if we don't build a foundation in children early, then when they are adults, they can carry either the lack of awareness and apathy into adulthood, and out of that lack of awareness and apathy can mistreat people with the way that they show up in the world. And so what better way to lay a foundation in children than to have these important conversations with them about why it is that God says he loves all, why it is that he sent his son to earth to die and give his life for all, and why it is that God is the great redeemer and reconciler, right? And so we have to tell these stories, because not only does that faith ground them, but it also helps to shape their hearts in the way that they grow up in this world.
Praise God. Listeners, Sierra Robinson said, I purchased this book for my daughter and I'd read together with the intention that it would spark conversation and curiosity in her. Like many children, she's long had questions regarding homelessness. I love this book because that same curiosity is shown by the main character, Zion. The story shows and teaches how every person is deserving of the same love from us that God has for them and how small gestures of kindness can make someone feel seen. It's an excellent book for kids of all ages. Let's turn toward your organization that you co-formed along with your wife, Cecilia, Love Beyond Walls. Before we do so, listeners, tonight's discussion is important to me because when starting out on my missionary sojourn in 1998, God allowed me to do the same as Brother Terrence and Sister Cecilia in Atlanta. And boy, was it interesting with the believers of the household of faith. Had I not been rooted in my faith. So Dr. Terrence Lester is a minister, speaker, community activist, author, and founder of Love Beyond Walls, a not-for-profit organization focused on poverty awareness and community mobilization. He received his PhD in interdisciplinary studies with a concentration in public policy and social change from Union Institute and University. His campaigns on behalf of the poor, including Love Sinks In, which provides hand washing stations for the poor, have been featured in USA Today, Black Enterprise, Essence, and Reader's Digest. They've been viewed by millions of people globally on the Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS News, NBC, Upworthy, and The Bright Side with Katie Couric. He was named by Coca-Cola as one of their history shakers. So let's take a look at what is the current state of homelessness in the United States and the Black community. According to the Housing, Urban, and Development reports, that on a single night in 2023, roughly 653,100 individuals in the United States experienced homelessness, up about 12% from 2022. The current Population Survey Annual Social and Economic Supplemental reports that official poverty rate in 2022 was 11.5%, not statistically different from 2021 up to February 27, 2024. In our community alone, the most striking disparity can be found among African Americans, who represent 13% of the general population, but account for 37% of people experiencing homelessness and more than 50% of homeless families with children. This imbalance has not improved over time. Now think about what's being reported here and what powerful coming from Zion and her beloved father is the fact that when we talk about God, we're talking about every person, irrespective of skin tone. I just so happen to center it around our community. So you always start at home before you go out, as Dr. Lester has been doing along with his wife with his own children, so that the impact they're having is started at home. So Dr. Lester, 20 years ago, you and Cecilia formed Love Beyond Walls. Why?
Yeah, I think what my daughter was describing earlier was just because we wanted to be proximate to people in our community who were suffering, invisible and marginalized and overlooked. I think, you know, God really placed it on our hearts to do this type of work, because there's so many people, as you described, that are suffering. And that data that you actually quoted isn't based on, you know, the physical count, right? Because when you take a census for people who are unhoused, you actually deploy volunteers in the community and you, like, physically count people, because there's no address to send a census card to. And so I would expect that number to be even higher than what is actually reported, because you can't count everybody without an address. So just the idea that so many people are suffering, invisible, it's plaguing, as you have stated, Black and brown communities in disproportionate amounts. And you know, we have to be on the front lines and remind people that they are loved, they are valued, and provide the types of support and resources needed. What would you say, Sue?
Yeah, I would basically say the same thing. I feel like the reason why we started is because it was a lack in that area at that time. We didn't see a lot of people doing what we were doing at that time, going out, mm-hmm. actually being the hands and feet of Jesus. And we wanted to make sure that people received the things that they actually need. We didn't assume. We asked them for, you know, what it was that they needed, and we provided those resources so that they would be warm at night, or they would have additional water, or they would have water bottles to be able to clean themselves, or just different things. But we just mm-hmm. Saw a need and didn't make assumptions about it. We really studied the population and asked them what it was that they needed and provided those resources.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, you're hearing from Cecilia. You have Terrence's beloved wife, his partner, who also co-formed with him. And so therefore, our responses, based upon the questions, will come from both of them. You know, and what what you're hearing from the both of them, from their heart, only God knows one heart, but you can be discernible, believers of the household of faith, is the fact that they are showing care, just like you just said. You know, it was about putting shoe leather out there so that the lips match the shoes, because a lot of organizations, unfortunately, they just grab the Social Security number of the individuals that way. But they're showing care, and that's probably why they've been successful, because God is in it. But at the same time, he's taken two individuals along with everybody else to help the people, irrespective of where one happens to be in life. All right, so let me come back to the both of you. Why is it important to mobilize others to join you in moving past the walls that divide people and taking love to people in creative ways?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, no one or two people or three people or just one family can do it alone. I think there's a phrase we used to use early in our organization is called the love army, right? How do we take love into places where it doesn't exist, or it has connotations attached to it that has all types of prerequisites, right? And so, mm-hmm. you know, you need hands and feet. You need people volunteering. You need people being able to pack hygiene kits. Tomorrow we have, you know, volunteers, close to 50 volunteers coming out to serve the community and the food co-op that we have. You're talking about actual families who have gone days without having enough resources in their refrigerators. And so you can't do it alone. And I think when God says, you know, go out into all the world, he's not just talking about a few people. He's saying anybody who has my love, you know, bubbling up on the inside of them, go and tell people, right? And go and show up and be proximate. And I think that's the greatest way, not just to do it for yourself, but to take the love that you've been given and share it with others.
Mm-hmm. Cecilia?
Yeah, I would say a lot of the volunteer opportunities that we created in the beginning were very simple. It felt simple to us, but people really were looking for opportunities to serve. So I feel like we had this way of creating the low-hanging fruit to where people felt like they belonged and they could volunteer, or they could be proximate with people that were unhoused at that time. And after they, you know, came out and volunteered, they noticed that, okay, like the people that are out here are just like me. They're just like you, and I have something to offer and I have something to give them. And so they would come out over and over again and bring clothes and bring shoes that they couldn't wear anymore, or just bring new items because they felt like they were helping affirm the dignity of the people that were out that we were serving at that time.
Mm-hmm. Terrence, what experiences did you undergo while living on the streets?
Yeah, I mean, if you can imagine every possible thing that would make you feel less than experience, from people walking across the street because they see you walking towards them, for people putting you out of restaurants or turning you away because you were minutes late to a shelter, to your hands freezing and, you know, on the verge of frostbite, and you have to use socks for gloves, to standing around campfires with, you know, some of my friends tossing clothes in a fire pit because there was no firewood. You know, you had to take donated clothes, to sleeping on rocks and trying to use cardboard to make the sleeping experience a little better, to even just the sleep deprivation, right? Because at any given moment, you're just up. And, you know, one of the things that people don't really think about when you don't have an address is rest. And rest is connected to so many other things: mental well-being, physical, emotional well-being, you know, your health, right, in your physical body. And the lack of rest can lead to so many other things. And so, you know, statistics will show that 70% of people who are unhoused actually don't know where it's safe to sleep. But yet there are cities and states that are creating laws that make it illegal for people to sleep outside, even though that there are bed shortages in this country.
And so when you speak of the challenges of sleeping under bridges and eating handouts and begging for money or being dismissed from restaurants that most people may take for granted, what specifically are you speaking of?
What am I speaking of?
Yes, sir. As examples.
I would say that I'm speaking about the lived experiences that people actually have to walk through every single second while they're out there on the streets. I mean, you can think about even just this past winter. I mean, we had chilling temperatures where there were people who were on the streets that they passed away because they didn't have any heat or enough blankets or a sleeping bag that could handle the low temperatures. And so I'm just talking about the lived experiences of what it means to be excluded or invisible to other people.
And the reason why I brought that up is because I remember reading where you discussed it with your beloved wife and family prior to going out. And again, I'm piggybacking because, again, there are a lot of individuals that's out there that's listening, that will be listening, who may not truly understand what you're speaking of, and they should, but if they have not been where you have had to walk, then there's not going to be any understanding. And that's really why I brought up as relates to whether sleeping under bridges, because you expounded very clearly on, you know, here's the causative factor and here's what can happen. Because if you're talking about having to be out there and because you weren't able to make it back to the shelter on time, now you got to struggle and find somewhere to go to try to wash up or try to make the labor readies or whatever the case may be, you know, or try to look presentable as you can. And then you got to, you know, get some money somehow. And then you talk about, again, the overt appearance of you going somewhere and people judging you based upon what you're looking at, but yet not trying to help you. And, again, that's the reason why I believe that God has blessed and is blessing you, your wife, and your total family, because you're showing not just from the lips but shoe leather, and you're able to say, hey, let me share why I'm doing this and how I've had to walk in somebody's shoes to understand so that I could be of help. Dr. Lester and Cecilia, why is it important to meet people where they are?
I feel like it truly acknowledges who the person is, and it provides freedom to them. You know, just acknowledging where they are and not assuming that they're supposed to be where we want them to be at a specific time. So I feel like it's important to acknowledge where people are in the specific stage that they are in their life, because that's what they're living. We're not living their life for them. We're there to support, you know, give encouragement and do all of those type of things, but we can't, you know, make people do anything. We can just encourage them to do some other things.
Yeah, and I believe the greatest example of being proximate to people where they are is in the person of Jesus. Jesus was with the woman at the well. He had proximity with tax collectors, and he touched those who were blind. He walked with the lame. He was proximate to people who were outcasts in society. I mean, you can read the entire Gospel of Luke, and it details and chronicles his proximity to others. And what greater example than Jesus himself saying, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. God's expressed love in the earth of being with people where they are. And when I look at Jesus's life and witness, I say, I want to live that way. I want to be with someone who slept behind the building. I want to be proximate to someone who hasn't had a meal. I want to ensure that a child who may not have the proper size clothes have those clothes, because that is the greatest act of service and bringing glory to God, is to love those who are least, Jesus says in Matthew 25. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so when I hear that, it's not so much about what we're doing, it's about the example that we're following in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Cecilia, and then back to Terrence. Why do you say for every person who experienced homelessness, we see you and God sees you?
We say that because a lot of times, well, I can give a few examples. A lot of times when we see people who are unhoused on the streets, there are, like, you try not to look at them. You try not to see, you know, what they're going through because of how it may make you feel, or, you know, just not to have to give them anything. So sometimes people who are unhoused, like, they feel invisible a lot of times because people look beyond them or, like, try to avoid them and all of those type of things. But at Love Beyond Walls, we teach that we look people in their eyes. You know, we ask them about how was their day. We ask them about their family. We ask them about all of the things that, you know, helps to, like, shed light on the dignity within. Because we have that same inherent dignity as well. And we want to know, we want someone to ask us, how was our day? Smile at us, look at us in our eyes. And those are just some of the, you know, just a few things that we do to make sure that we see other people.
Yeah. And, I mean, in that scene, you know, people are reminded that God also sees them, you know. I think Cecilia said it best earlier. We are the hands and feet of God in the earth, in the way that we show up and serve other people. And when you acknowledge someone's existence, when you see them, what greater way than to remind people that they are valued.
Any final words for the listeners, starting with Cecilia?
I would just say, I know I've heard my husband say, like, take a look at your calendars and take a look at the things that you have on your plate, because it's real. A lot of times we say, people ask us to do things and we say, oh, I'm busy. But how busy are we really, you know, to where we can set up a food drive or a clothes drive for an organization, pass out hygiene kits. When we go to hotels, we can collect some of those, you know, the little small travel size items and pass them out and put them in our cars and pass them out to people that stand on the street so that they will be able to clean themselves. So it's, I would say, just think about things that you can do to help people that are on the streets or people that are unhoused, because there are things that you can do in your own community and for the people that are around you on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and I would just close with, you know, realize that every single person matters, including yourself. And I think sometimes society encourages us to always think about ourselves. And, you know, what greater way to honor and glorify God and even figure out ways you can use your talents than to pause and consider others. I think when we aren't aware and when we don't consider the sufferings of others, that contributes to their invisibility. And also realizing that, you know, when the question is posed, am I my brother or my sister's keeper? And the answer is simply yes. Yes, mm-hmm. we are. What I do for my neighbor, I'm also doing for myself. And I believe that's why Jesus said, love God with everything, and then mm-hmm. love your neighbor as yourself.
My brethren of the household of faith, Terrence, Cecilia, Zion, and the rest of the Lester family, thank you for yielding to the Holy Spirit of God and helping the helpless, the hopeless, the hurting, and homeless who are vulnerable and may have been forgotten.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thanks.
It's an honor. It's an honor. And again, Terrence, invite you back to discuss your other books and Zion and Cecilia. Come back anytime to discuss whatever God has laid on your heart to do. Listeners, Terrence has delivered countless sermons and speeches at conferences, churches, and schools around the country. He has served on several ministerial staffs and currently writes a weekly newsletter entitled From Streets to Scholarship, which addresses the intersection of public policy, poverty, race, and faith. His books include I See You, When We Stand, and All God's Children. Terrence has also received numerous awards for his community activism, including the Atlanta 500, Brawny Giant Award, American Express Next Generation Award, Empire Borderillas Distinguished Service Award, SCLC Social Advocacy Award, Atlanta's Voices 50 Under 50 Honor, and the True to Atlanta Award presented by the Atlanta Hawks. Listeners, thank you again for taking the time to tune in to Challenges of Faith radio program. You'll catch this interview on BTR, iHeart, Spotify, Jam, wherever you hear your podcast. 80, we give honor to God for allowing it to be. I'm Gary McCants. Thank you for tuning in.
My world needs you right now. Let up this space.
The world needs
my world needs you right now. My world needs you right now.
Storms may come, but you right now. My world needs you.